Good morning, folks. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Certainly, in this study, there's going to be some overlap of ideas. And you know, you sort of wonder sitting there as a speaker, and as Tony is like going over this thing that I'm going to talk about, you know, you're like, dang it, you know, like, but. Man, is this time up yet? You know, that's terrible. You know, but in fact, none of this has to do with our word. It has to do with the Lord's, and none of this really has to do with any work that we do as human beings that are here and gone in a vapor of time, which we are. It has to do with Him and what He's most blessedly done with each and every one of us as members of the church, which is His body. And what I'm going to discuss today is some of the things that you've heard from these great men already. And I think that it's a good idea to go over these lessons and listen to them again. Because there's always things that our minds miss. And if you take these lessons and you go home and listen to them as you do when you read other things or you listen to other men or women about the scriptures, you think, oh, I didn't hear that. Boy, that was great. I didn't catch that when I was there. There's a lot of things going on always when we're here in our minds. So I would recommend that all of you take all of these lessons from all of these men and go over them by yourselves, because there's going to be points that they've mentioned that you probably have missed. But no doubt there's going to be some overlapping in what all of us talk about, and that's all right. That's all right. I still love reading scriptures about my calling over and over and over again. You know, I'll take all the Father has to give once I'm in the position of accepting what He has for us through His Son. And that's the position that we're in. Well, first of all, let me open up with a scripture. And this is what I'd like to open up a lot of my talks with, if not everyone. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him or her that glories glory in this, that he or she knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And let us glory in this fact, no matter what we come to know in this conference, that we glory in Him. And we glory in what He's done. And we glory in what He's taught us about Himself. Because we are meek and weak, beggarly elements on this planet. No matter what we think about ourselves or how deluded we are about ourselves or what piddly things we have, we glory in Him and He delights in that. And I personally have found that I delight in that. You know, I don't believe there's anything wrong with glorying in Him and saying, I know this about the Almighty God and His Son. I don't believe there's any problem with that. I think He loves that in this day and age for sure. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to look over the unity of the Spirit. That's what I'm going to look over. I wrote a couple of Greek forms on the board here. One of them, Tony has gone over, spoudadzontis. Actually, it's spoudadzontis. And that is the endeavoring. He went over that quite well. You know, like I said, he was going over and over the stuff I want to talk about. Dang it. Spoudadzontis is the actual Greek, form in, Ephesians 4. Spoudadzontis. Spoudadzontis. Would you like to say that? Go ahead. Spoudadzontis. Spoudadzontis. And you'd say, well, what? You know, what's with that? The Holy Spirit used that word. That's the word of God, actually, through man's language, explaining the unity of the Spirit, endeavoring, that is, spoudazentes. And a different form of this is found as Tony again, here's him again, as he said in 2 Timothy. And so we're going to find out that endeavoring to keep the unity that we have amongst ourselves has to do with, as Tony said, the endeavoring in the Word of God. Because the same emphasis that we should have when we understand that this is the Word of God, where our hearts should be in endeavoring, in studying this, that same emphasis and same energy should be at working at keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace between us. And you could say, well, why is that? Well, that's a question that I'm going to attempt to answer. My mind says, why should I do that? Why should I keep endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit above all else, above my things, above who I am with somebody like Ron? Oh, that was supposed to be a little humorous. But that was just a joke. But why are we supposed to keep that? There's a reason, and there's a godly reason why. It has to do with our calling. It has to do with our warfare. It has to do with what God the Father has given to us and what He wants in our minds as being singleness of mindedness, as being ones that have singleness of mind together. Because in fact, we are the fullness together of the Son of God. I mean, He brought us together, we didn't. He brought us together and we are the fullness of the Son of God. And therefore, naturally, if we're going to exist for eternity, and I'm going to use that word because if we are the fullness of the Creator, I believe we have eternity in Him. He has immortal life. He is the only one that has immortality. If we are the fullness of the Son of God, we have immortality. If I'm wrong about the way I think, well, you can tell me. So, but at any rate, if we are going to exist immortally together, this unity is going to be built here, starting here. That makes all the sense in the world. And that's what makes us love each other the way we do. With what? The love of man? No, the love of God. We actually have the love of God dwelling within our hearts. That's what makes us love each other. Not because maybe I can get something out of Roger. Maybe he'll give me his 64 Chevy when if he likes me enough. Not to get something out of each other. Who cares? We love each other in the Lord because of what we know about Him. That's the unity of the Spirit. Exactly. And see, this unity of the Spirit is set in the context of our calling that we should know it. And there's a reason why I mention that. So these are the points I'm going to try to make. There's strength and unity in the Lord. This unity has to do with earnestly and diligently being eager to keep this unity as we would studying the Scriptures. So the Lord, as men have said here this morning, the Lord commands us that it's our duty. It's our duty to keep this unity. It's not something that we might choose to pick or not. If we are members of the church, which is Christ's body, we are delegated to do this duty. And the reason is not us, it's Him. The reason is Him and His work and His calling. Get your minds off yourselves and onto Him, because He's chosen you out of this world for Himself. All right? That's a point. We understand this unity together. How is this possible? How is this possible that all of us understand this, being separate human beings from the four corners of this country? How is it possible that we understand this unity? Well, the reason for that is because we are chosen as the Father's heritage. We're going to see that a little bit. It's because of what He has done for us in our calling that we can share this unity. All right. Also, this unity has to do with warfare, because this unity has to do with our calling. It's set in the calling of the mystery. Ephesians 4 isn't talking about the unity of the Spirit in the New Jerusalem calling. It's not talking about the unity of the Spirit in the Acts period calling. So there's a warfare that's going to go on, where other people that promote the mixing of other callings may use this scripture to prove that it doesn't matter what you know or what you're called to in the scriptures, that we should all be unified in Christ. There's all kinds of different wicked angles that Satan will use to mix the scriptures up. And so that's why we are supposed to be diligent in spudazantes, rightly dividing the Word of God. And that's why we're supposed to be diligent in keeping this unity, because this unity has to do with a specific calling that's specifically been given to us, and the evil one is going to tear it down at all costs. That's what he's about to do. No matter how big we think that project is, we have been called to the right hand of the Father. And that's about as big as you can get in this entire working of anything created at all, whatsoever. You have been called to the greatest business that God has. So why wouldn't his opposer want to bring that down? And certainly in this world, he's doing a great job with it. A great job. So it has to do with warfare too. And we have a warfare. You know, I guess these are my main points, and you know, I'm just going to go back and fill them in a little bit. But those are my main points. There is a warfare going on. Whether you want to recognize it or not, this warfare, once you've been given this calling, is going to start upon you immediately, one way or the other. And is it a sanction of the Lord that His calling and His word would be all amalgamated and mixed up? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, so that occurring out and around you is a satanic work. It is, no doubt about it. It's a satanic work that is going to constantly come at you in different ways. Family members, different angles and subtle tangents. That temptations are going to come at you to give up your stand for your calling because of a loved one. But what Tony pointed out, or someone, is the Lord, the principle of the Lord coming to bring a sword to separate, is, if you read that further, is that He's going to separate family members because of the truth. That's what the principle of that is. You know, the principle of that is that there's going to be possibly people from the same family that'll be at odds with each other over the truth. So if that's in a family, why would we be surprised if it's spread out into the world that we know, which we know that is under the power of Satan to begin with, right? Yeah, and see, these, you can say the words and then try to live a, quote, normal life. But that isn't going to be the case. Somebody said that one of the guys said that once you step into the spotlight of the Lord, maybe it was Mr. Eberly, that you're in it. And he's exactly right. Once you step into the spotlight of the Lord, You are in it, and there is no escape from it. The point being is that you might be beaten down as to what glory you're standing in, though. And that has to do with this unity. So, those are my main points, and if nothing else, I at least told you that. We have a strength in unity. We know that, let's just say the way the scripture describes it, if you have one cord, you can tear it apart. If there's three cords, if you've ever done this with a cord, you wrap three cords together, you can lift pounds and pounds with it of the same material. Well, that's the way we are in this unity. This unity makes us stronger in our calling. If I have a problem and I can call up a friend of mine in the Lord and I can say, hey, I'm being attacked in this way. This friend in the Lord could say, I'm attacked in the same way, but this is what the Lord has taught me. And he can tell you these things, or she can tell you these things, and it will uplift you that way. Isn't it true? Isn't it true that you enjoy talking about people of your calling, about the scriptures? Isn't it true? I do that to uplift lift myself, because my brothers might be stronger at times than I am. I need that, I suppose. You know, otherwise the Lord wouldn't call us to this unity, and otherwise in all of his callings he wouldn't say that we should be of one mind. All of us. And I'll point that out a little bit. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 23 through 31. This is just, I could have read Ephesians 4, 1 through 7, but that's, I'm talking about the unity of the Spirit. And by the way, it's the unity in the Spirit, in the Giver, the Holy Spirit. So we have this unity as a product of the Holy Spirit. The giver, not the gift. 1 Corinthians 23. And, you know, I might have 25 minutes here or something. What? 1 Corinthians 1, I'm sorry. Verse 23, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 23 through 31. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. This is a different calling during the Acts period, but the principle is the same. Unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them that are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So we know that basic wisdom of God is foolishness to the world, let alone his high calling. Because the foolishness of God is weaker than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. This is 1 Corinthians 1, verses 23 through 25. For you see, verse 26, your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And this is a principle. I'm going to stop there because I want to move on. This is a principle. How many of us are senators? How many of us are kings? How many of us are princesses? I mean, at least, you know, some of you might think you are. Or some of us might think we're pretty hot princes or something like that. But the point of it is that there are circles in this world that we will never touch, monetarily speaking. There are people that own castles. There are people that own countries, literally. There are people that control armies. There are people that are filthy rich, beyond our wildest dreams. We will never be there. None of us will ever be there. So what? God has not chosen those people for a reason. There's a reason. Why? I asked Ronnie, why aren't we in front of the president speaking the mystery? He said, because he wasn't chosen to hear it, I suppose. Or he wasn't chosen to know it, I suppose. Because I sometimes wonder that, why we aren't spread across the world talking to mighty men and women. Did you ever wonder that? Did you ever wonder why you have the greatest calling the Almighty ever had to give, and you're not being called in front of the mighty powers of the world? I wonder that all the time. Is it possible that he could do that? Yeah, sure. Why not? But he doesn't. And that's a principle. There's a principle there. Because the Lord has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. Because the wisdom of God is stronger than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than any mighty man. Amen. So that no flesh will glory in His sight. Think about that. Remember it. Apply it. Let alone our calling. Let alone knowing the mighty calling of God. So the first principle of God in just knowing Him is that you have the power of God within you because He chose you out, because not because you're great, not because you're beautiful, not because you're rich, not because you're mighty, because you're lowly and you're humble and you need Him. Awesome. Awesome place to be. His opposer is the most narcissistic being ever created. Narcissism means you literally are in love with yourself. People, some human beings, are literally, like you love your mate, in love with themselves. Think about it. We have all sorts of human minds rolling around on this planet these days. It's incredible. All sorts of ways of thinking that are in this walking flesh. From being a son of God to being worse than a dog. Literally. Literally. So, the evil one, the opposer, is it the most self-loving being ever created. That is his very nature. That's what allows him and brings him to be a blasphemer and a murderer and a deceiver from the beginning. And it's a great possibility that he could care less or thinks anything about what he does as being wrong, if you can imagine that. But that's seen in some human beings. And that's your foe, by the way. All right, we talked about Sudads Antes as being the Greek form that describes how we're supposed to function with each other in this unity, and it's with eagerness, making every effort to do your best to keep this unity intact. And this goes beyond what Mike wants and what Mike needs and what Mike cares about. It goes beyond that because it cares about you and you and you and you, about how you're doing and your state of affairs in the Word. That's how I should be with you. That's how far it goes. I don't care what you do for me. I don't care. I don't look at you as something I can get. I look at you as somebody that I should be building up earnestly in my mind and heart, caring about you, caring about your health, but most of all, caring about your spiritual well-being and your walk in the mystery. Yeah. That's how I should be. That's how you that's what should be reciprocating back from you to me. Because that's who we are in the Lord. That's who we are in the Lord. That's who we are in His eyes. That mightn't be how I'm not in your eyes, but that's how you're supposed to be looking at me. And that's how I'm supposed to be looking at you. And this business is going to quickly vanish away. Time is short. We have no time. We have no time. Time is here. Time is now. Time to bolster is here. Time to build is here. It's not waiting. It's now. Because who knows where we're going to be tomorrow? The scriptures say, we don't know. We can't plan for tomorrow because we don't know if we'll be here tomorrow. So the time to build and hold up and to put forth this calling and share and build in it is now, not tomorrow. And I think that's the emphasis of this Greek form. As Tony pointed out, it's now with eagerness, with a heart that wants to do it. Do you love the Scriptures? I love the Scriptures. Do you love the Scriptures? I love studying the Scriptures. Sometimes I step back and I'm astounded at what the Lord teaches me in His Word. You know, I'm sure you're there. You're like, oh man, like, who was it that said, was it David, these things are too great for me. I'm sure you've been there. I'm sure you've been there. If you know your calling, you've been there. These things are too great for me, Lord. I love His Word. And so, it's with that earnestness in my heart that I love His Word, that I should be loving you as being His, really. And see, Paul walked about, he said, I don't care about anything in you except Christ in you. That's what were his words as he went about. It doesn't matter to me what you did or what you're done, if you're a son of God or a daughter, adopted son of God includes women, by the way. It includes women, so I'm not a chauvinistic dog. No, it includes women. Being an adopted son of God includes women. It does. So we as sons of God should look at each other as being sons of God. Nothing else. And if Mr. Everly was saying, oh yeah, the flesh tends to look at the other flesh and say, oh man, I don't have that. I'm not like that. I'm not short. I'm not Polish. Hey, why are you laughing? You know, but that's wrong. Because you're no better than I am. Absolutely. If you think you are, well, you're deceived. By the way, there's a lot of deception going on out there. The unity is set totally in the context and has totally to do with our calling. It has nothing to do with other callings. It has nothing to do with the bride. It has nothing to do with the wife. It has nothing to do with Israel whatsoever. And so when you read Ephesians 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Do you know your calling? You should know your calling. If you don't know your calling, there is no way for you to understand what walking in this unity is. You have to know your calling to walk in this unity. You do. Because it's set in the context of your calling. So we have to know our calling so that I can walk up to Mr. Everly and say in my heart and mind, I don't know why I'm picking on him, but oh, I'll pick on Pete. Walk up into my heart and mind and say, you know, I don't care if this guy's a scratch golfer. I love him anyway, because I know that he's of my calling, and I know he has in his mind and heart what I know about the Lord. That's it. That's it. That's how we approach each other, and that's what the unity is. Who cares? You know, I'll give my life for Pete and his wife if it needs be, because he is of the body of Christ. You know, I suppose you could say, well, what's your wife going to do? Maybe she'll jump for joy, I don't know. But okay, yeah, that's a joke there. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Mr. Everly went over what the one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. How is it possible for all of us to know this unity? Well, we do know it, right? How is that possible for all of us to know that? Because it has to do with what the Father has done for us. It has to do with what our dear Heavenly Father has done for us. And see, if you study Ephesians 1 really closely and delve into the Koine Greek, which the guys all collectively know that it is very prosperous to do so, do you have to know Greek to know your calling? No. I want to point that out. If you never know one form or word of Greek, it doesn't matter. You can learn of your calling in the English. But if you decide, and it doesn't take an Albert Einstein to delve in to the Greek language, the workings of your God will be brought out even more fully. And that's a fact, and I guarantee it. So, how is it that we all know this unity? How is that? It's the unity given to us by the Holy Spirit. Can we produce it? No. I don't believe we can. We can choose to walk worthy of our calling and have the Holy Spirit work in us with each other, or we can choose the old man. And see, that's also our conflict too while we're here, isn't it? Am I speaking out of turn here? We have the old man or the old woman. We have, you know, if you're a young lady, you have the new young lady and the old young lady. If you come to know the Lord, you have the new young lady or the new man within you that understands a holy God. But you might still have that old personality that's like every one of us, selfish, doesn't like other people for some odd reason, this, that, and all the other things that go along with the flesh. But the Lord moves through that, because those things of the flesh are dead, dying, going to the grave, have nothing to do with the work of the Lord at all, whatsoever. He works through His Holy Spirit, by which you are sealed. You are sealed by the sealer in your calling. You are sealed by the sealer, the Holy Spirit, and this is how the Lord works. In order for you to have the unity of the Spirit, you have to know His calling, and you have to put on the new man, which is created in true holiness. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you, because that's what the Word of God teaches you. In your calling, you have a new man created in true holiness. Can I look at you as being a son or daughter of God in true holiness? Yes, I can, through the eyes of the Holy Spirit in this unity. Yes. And that is what makes us far and beyond believers as opposed to religious. All right? Religion is another attack of the enemy. It's a fleshly, worldly, man-made system explaining and directing Almighty God as to how they choose and what they choose He should do, even where He lives. By the way, I told you before in one talk that in my town, I drive into my town and it says Boscobel, Wisconsin, the place where God has many houses. Really? God has many houses there. Wow. That's ridiculous, by the way. Absolutely ridiculous, as if He dwells in any building today. Totally asinine. I'll go as far as saying that. That's totally asinine and a perversion of the Word of God. Do they want to hear that? Absolutely not. Do they want to throw me out of town for saying that? Oh, yeah. Do they like the lie? Oh, yeah. Why? Because it's comfortable in the flesh. They don't want to move beyond their own little lives. They don't want to move beyond themselves to know the Holy Almighty God, if you can believe it. And see, I think that has to do, we were discussing resurrection power. I think knowing these things is a part of resurrection power. I think that knowing what we're talking about and discussing is resurrection power. And that me sharing it with you and you understanding it, that's resurrection power. Because no man or woman can put these truths together. No way, no how, no time. No human being could ever begin to put this word together after you know it. So, what has the Father done for us? Well, in Ephesians 1, if you delve into the Koine far enough, you'll find in verse 11, this Greek form, ekleirothemen. Say it. Say it. Ekleirothemen. 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 Thanks, because that's who you are to the Father. You are His chosen heritage. And I challenge all of you, this one especially, right here. I challenge all of you to look up this Greek form and study your brains out on it. Because what you're going to find here is you're going to find that through the Son of God, the Father has made you His heritage. He has made you His sons. He has made you like His line, as a father would a son, spiritually speaking. Not only do we have an inheritance, but this Greek form tells us that He chose us as an inheritance. He chose you as being a member of the body of Christ as His inheritance. The only way that you can understand the glory and the power and the blessing of that is through the Holy Spirit. It is. Can I boom these words out so that, you go out of here emotionally and say, oh yeah, I'm part of God's heritage. Well, I could do that, and then that would wear off in 5 minutes after you got in your car. But if you understand that, in fact, if you understand the Son of God and His work, and you understand who the Father is, you understand the Godhead, and then you understand who He is and what He is, and that He chose you as His inheritance, that should really touch you spiritually speaking. This is in Ephesians 1:11. This unique Koine form means the Father has chosen us as His private possession, His personal heritage. Look into it, really. You'll find for a while that you might say, oh no, this means that we have an inheritance. If you look further, you'll find that you have been chosen as the Father's personal heritage. I can't say it any more than that. To understand it is to have spiritual understanding. I cannot place that in you. But if I understand that you understand this, I can understand that I can have great unity with you in the Holy Spirit. No matter what you do or what you do in life, what you have, it doesn't matter, because we are beyond this world and this flesh. We are His sons and daughters. And I can share that and glean that from you. That's what walking in the Spirit is in our calling. We are the fullness of the Son of God. How can that be? I've got a few minutes. 5. In Ephesians 1:22, it tells us that, in 1:22 and 1:23, it tells us that we are the fullness of Him that fills all in all. How can that be? Christ is the Creator of all things. Well, if you look at the Hubble probe and some of the pictures that it's taken lately, your mind is going to really say, how can we be the fullness of the One that put all that out there? Take a look at it. Google it, eBay it, whatever you do. Take a look at what the Hubble is seeing out there. And know how infinitesimally small you are. But on top of that, how great you are in the Lord and how supremely loving He is to us. We are the fullness of the one that created all those things. How can that be? But it's true. I think he wants us to think about that. Do we have joy in that? Yes. Do we have power in that? Yes. Do we have unity in that? You bet we do. You know, I'm not getting dunked today. I'm not reveling in the fact that I'm saved from a burning eternal hell today. I'm not listening to somebody speak five scriptures over my head that I have no idea what they are talking about, and then go on in my merry way thinking about what I'm going to gain or what I'm going to eat today. Yet millions upon millions of people are doing that, claiming that that is their proper service to the Almighty. We know much, 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 much more than that. Why is it that they don't know? Because for one, they choose that, and for two, they are deceived, and they are being deceived. That is a fact, whether we want to realize it or not. Satan is alive and well right now. He is the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2. The spirit that works in us is opposed by the spirit of wickedness, by the way. We don't like that, but it is in fact true. Why do we have to deal with that? Because the Lord has chosen us to. Do we like to deal with wickedness? Do we like to deal with temptation? Do we like to deal with doubt? No. Do we deal with it? Yes. Why is that? Because it's our reasonable service and because God has chosen us to do so. And it is a perfecting process. This should be happening to all of us, and this is how we are unified by the Holy Spirit. This should be an experience of all of us. We are being perfected or matured by the Lord, one way or another. He chose us out as adopted sons before the laying down of the material universe. We are recipients of the Father's good pleasure and His delight, and He has made known to us the untraceable, revealed, sacred, secret, incredible, astounding, I can't believe it. Can you believe it? We know it. Can you believe it, sirs? No, I can't believe it. Why did He do this for me? I don't know, but I love it. The untraceable, revealed, sacred, secret, He has given that to us. This is His Word. How important is this Word? We know something untraceable in His Word. What kind of people are we supposed to think like we are? We are His. Big time. Sure, we have problems. Sure, we have things to go through. So did the Lord. So did Paul. But He has chosen us to know something untraceable in the other 97% of His holy Word. Incredible. Phenomenal. Cry your brains out stuff. Cry your brains out material. That's what it is. And do we know this together? Yes, we do. Cry your brains out, hallelujah, praise His name, stuff. We know that. We know these things together. Hallelujah. This is part of this unity in the Spirit. We are being built together for His habitation in the Spirit, Ephesians 2:22. We shouldn't be taking this on like it's some sort of hobby. Ultimately, absolutely ridiculous, as if to say that studying the Word of God and walking in the Spirit is something that we can pick and choose. Lay down like a golf club or pick it up. That's ridiculous. You should be afraid if you think like that. It's not a hobby. It is our life, and He is our ministry. It doesn't matter if you're a housewife. It doesn't matter if you're a high school student. It doesn't matter if you've been shown these things. He is your life. Seriously. And He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. I'll end with this. Philippians 1:27 through 2:5. Like-mindedness. Philippians is a book of our calling. Many times throughout the Scriptures, no matter what the calling, the Apostle Paul talks about us, or talks to believers as being of the same mind, of being like-minded. The only way that we know our calling is to be like-minded. That's a matter of fact. It is. We have the same mind in the Lord. How is that? Through the Holy Spirit, through His Word. Awesome stuff. I can only say that and express it because I don't know how else to do it. How do you express these things as being a human being? You know, you feel like you're going to explode. But no, I can't explode today. I've got to live another 30 years or whatever I got. I can't explode today. I'd like to, but I can't. And that's the earnest of the Spirit that we have as we walk through, being perfected. And that's something you should study too. Why is it that the Father would want to perfect me? Whether you're a girl, man, guy, kid, why does He want to perfect me? What does that mean? Why does He want to mature me? What is that all about? Because the fact of the matter is that if you're still here, you know, a lot of times I think, well, let's see, I know the mystery, I've known it for 30 years, how much of this blankety blank blank stuff out there do I have to see anymore? Why doesn't He just take me? Not saying I'm suicidal, but I'm saying that, you know, like Paul did, better for me to be with the Lord than, I'd rather be with the Lord than here. But he said it's more needful for his fellow believers that he service them. Right? Well, I'm no Paul, but I feel the same way. You know, I would rather be in glory than to see some of the things going on out there. But, you know, it's like I said, I'm not copping out to anything, but we're being perfected by Him. All right? So, I'll end with this. And it's a matter of being of the same mind. That has to do with walking in the Spirit. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation, as it is, become the good message of Christ, whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you might stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the good message. By the way, the gospel is better read good message because there are many gospels. Oh yeah, well, I believe in the gospel. That's out there. Well, that's a nonchalant, sluggish, immature, irresponsible way of looking at the Scriptures. I believe in the gospel. We're a gospel church. What does that mean? Which one? There's many of them. So that's irresponsible. Will you tell them you're irresponsible? No. But it's true. So the gospel is the good message, whatever that good message is. Our good message is the dispensation of the mysterium, right? So let me go back in verse 27. I come and see you, or else be absent. I may hear of your affairs that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the good message, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which in them is an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given to be half of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Will you be going through sufferings? You might not be hung on a tree, but you might be going through subtle sufferings. You might be going through fleshly sufferings. You might be going through emotional sufferings. But the Lord is with you through all of it. And, you know, I don't want to bore you with anything that I came through, but I came through some hellacious stuff in my life. So I know about it. And the Lord brought me through it. And I can say that. I can stand here and I can say that. I can compare my hellacious time with yours. And we'll see. We'll see what yours is like. And we'll see what mine is like. And I'll say to you, not that I'm anything. I'm just saying this as a matter of fact. You know, I was never in a war. That's got to be hell on earth. All right? So that's hellacious. But the Lord will see you through it. I can say that. That's important. Will the Lord be with me? Yes, He will. That's important. We need that. We need Him. But you're going to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which He saw in me and here to be in me. Since there is consolation in Christ, verse 1 of Philippians chapter 2, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercy, fulfill me my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each other esteem the other as being better than themselves. Look not every man or woman on their own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I thank you for your time.